Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
1 Kings, the kingdom splits. We have covered a lot of territory in big picture fashion. I hope we can think back, and I hope we can see the big picture. How this man has ascended to the throne and the problems that have arisen quickly, the administration that he's executed, the blessings of God giving him great wisdom, the building programs, the temple, the palace, and yet this man is spoiled by his prosperity. Given incredible wisdom, he's acting like the kings of the world, he's not considering the people of his kingdom, and God is angry with him. Why was God angry? Because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel. I want to say this again. The more spiritual light you have been given, the more God expects of you. If you don't know your Bible, and don't do that by design, but if you're new at Christianity, God is, shall we say, more tolerant than someone that's been in the Bible, or at least should have been in the Bible. But the more you know about the Bible, the more you know about the Bible, the more you know about God, the more God expects from you. And especially when you can look back and see this man given wisdom. And there's nothing wrong with wealth if you use it for God. Well, Solomon went terribly astray, from horses to women, one pleasure after another pleasure, and God finally said, enough is enough. God is raising up problems now for Solomon. Do we understand that? Now, not every problem that a Christian has is because of sin. It could be just the nature of life. It could be so you can be an example to somebody else. It can be so you help to understand somebody else. But sometimes problems come because of sin. Well, God had stirred up adversaries to Solomon, Hadad the Edomite, Rezon. And we're going to see with Jeroboam is going to split. Solomon, nor any other man, is above the rules. He was warned, as every man is warned, and there are consequences for disobedience. I want us to get a point that I've alluded to, but I want to make it very clear. Solomon's the king. The kingdom is suffering and is going to split. Why? Because Solomon turned his back on God. Not because of poor administration. Not because of a weakened army. Not because of dissent among the ranks, but because of lack of righteousness. If I could cry to the highest heaven, this country will not be rescued out of its perils without righteousness. And God tells us that. It's righteousness that exalts a nation. Our country has its problems, but the greatest one is we are forsaking the Lord our God. This punishment did not have to be. He had a good life. What did he have to pursue all the things of the world? Stop it. In chapter 11, Solomon was warned and told the kingdom's going to split. One of your servants are going to rise up. Jeroboam was a servant chosen by God to take 10 of the 12 tribes, and he is going to be their king. Solomon is told this. Solomon dies, and Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, by his first wife, before he got 1,000 others, unless they're counting her as one of the 1,000, I think it becomes immaterial when you have that many wives. Rehoboam is the son of Solomon, born while David was yet alive, born before Solomon ever came to the throne. Let us read verses 1 through 16 of 1 Kings 12. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam the son of Nebat was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he has fled from the presence of King Solomon. And Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt. Remember last time that Solomon was told about Jeroboam. So instead of accepting God's will, he tried to kill him. Solomon, you really think you can overcome God? Verse 3, that they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, how do ye advise me that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. Verse 8, but he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people, who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which my father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make it thou lighter unto us. And thou shalt say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lade you with heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father has chastised you with whips, I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people. Underline this, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel! See now to thine own heart, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. Verse 1, Solomon is installed as the king. 2 through 4, Jeroboam returns from Egypt, and along with the people, he asks Rehoboam to lighten the workload. 5 through 11, Rehoboam seeks counsel, first from the old men, second from his peers. Rehoboam rejects the request of the people, and the kingdom splits. And this is God's people. Don't ever forget, the devil is more active in this room than he is in the bar, because he's already got them. He doesn't have to try too hard. He wants to ruin the unity and the sincere relationship that we have. He wants us to falter as Christians. Jeroboam was a leader in Solomon's government. And so as you look at this, he saw and he lived, he experienced as an industrious man, he saw the building projects. I want you to think about this in Ecclesiastes 2:4. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. The words of Solomon, late in life, looking back. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. Your labor! Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. In verse 27, now remember, he's been through a lot of these building programs. 1 Kings 11:27, and this was the cause that he, Jeroboam, lifted up his hand against the king. Solomon built. It was just like enough. That was the straw to break the camel's back. Solomon built Millo and repaired the breaches of the city of his father. Now, it's interesting if we look back, Hadad and Rezon were raised up by the Lord against Solomon. Jeroboam raised himself up when he saw more building. Interesting. Now, it is interesting that Jeroboam had been promised. Remember last study, the prophet took the garment, ripped it into 12 pieces, and he said, take 10, you're going to be the king of 10 tribes. He fled to Egypt, and he comes back, and what does he do? The first thing recorded. He tries to work it out. He went with the people to work it out. Ease the burden. We will serve you. So we have to look at this situation in different ways. It does not say that he raised up his hand because he wanted to be the king. It doesn't say that he sought the kingdom. It doesn't say that he sought a following. Rather, I believe it was because of the work. I believe Jeroboam was trying to keep the nation together. Imagine, he was told, you're going to be the king of 10 tribes. And he goes to Rehoboam and he says, ease the burden, we'll serve you. We read in Romans that the Apostle Paul wrote, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, that they resist shall receive to themselves damnation. We have to reconcile this because we clearly see in the book of 1 Kings, Jeroboam didn't seek anything. The prophet came to him. The prophet told him, you're going to be the king. And we know reading it, God moved the prophet to talk to him. He wasn't on his own. He was not, you know, just behaving on his own whims. So we must see this God's fundamental plan is we obey authority because it's ordained of God. But we also have to face the reality is how does God deal in an ugly, sinful world? And here we have great sin among God's people, and he's bringing judgment. And God does as God sees fit. I will work this way because there's great sin, and God is planning on rectifying it, and he even said, I'm not going to take it away from the house of David forever, but for a time. I'm going to have to do this. But I can't say that we blame Jeroboam because he did not want, if you will, that. He wanted it eased up. Solomon will one day realize and record in Ecclesiastes the folly of all of his building projects. And God is working to end this mess. I think this passage, this book, is so practical because it talks about the grand reality of life, sinners interacting with sinners. And the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? God chose Jeroboam boldly, clear in Scripture. Look again at 11:38. 1 Kings 11:38, and it shall be, this is now talking to Jeroboam, that's going to lead the split. And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and will walk in my ways, and do that is right in my sight, and keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, I will be with thee, and build thee a sure house, as I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee. Israel, the 10 tribes are called Israel. God called this man, and God, I don't see him doing it out of bitterness. He's doing it out of, not of punishment, but honest. Jeroboam, if you do right, I'll bless you and the whole 10 tribes.
That's why this is such an incredible passage. Now, it is interesting. 1 Kings 12:3, they sent and called Jeroboam, and they came to Rehoboam, saying, "Thy father made our yoke grievous." Stop. You'll notice that they never say, "Rehoboam, your father got into idolatrous worship. Your father turned his back on God. Our jobs are too hard." See it? It's subtle. I believe it was, because I don't see anywhere where God addresses that it wasn't. I don't see anywhere where God addresses it was too hard, nor do I see a place where God says it wasn't. He doesn't touch the issue as far as the guilt. He says the whole thing, "Solomon, you have sinned, and therefore the nation will split. A side issue, you worked us too hard." But do you see where the people are at fault? They're not seeking God. I don't see any place in this passage where they all said, "Wait a minute, let's pray." So everybody's got guilt. To a degree, the people have turned against God. Why aren't you calling on God? They wanted relief from the burdens of life, but they were not considering the spiritual aspect of life. In essence, the pagan places of worship were acceptable. We're willing to turn a blind eye to that. But the workload was not acceptable. People tend to want the good life on earth to the neglect of the spiritual life in eternity. And this is where the battle lies. Verse 15 of 1 Kings 12, "Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people." Why? "For the cause was from the Lord." Is God in control? He can take the king and turn his thinking. Do you have a problem? Take it to God. He can turn the king's heart. "Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord." God did it. As Joseph said to his brothers in Egypt three times, "God sent me, God sent me, God sent me." God is in control. Oh, if we would grasp how much God's in control. This whole chaotic world that we live in, strife around the world, confusion around the world, sin around the world, and God's still in control. Sometimes the, if you will, best thing that God can do to people is let them have their own way. And maybe then they'll wake up and say, "That wasn't so good, let's turn to God." Rehoboam seeks counsel. He first goes to the old men that advised Solomon. But I want you just to think about that before you read it. Stand back at all we've covered about taking 1,000 wives, about importing wealth, about gathering horses and shipping. How much counsel do you think Solomon was getting from his old advisors? I don't think he was listening to them. And I think if you decided to speak up, "You know, Saul, you ought to get rid of a few of those women," I don't think that would have been appropriate. So, verse 6, "And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, 'How do you advise that I may answer this people?' And they spake unto him, saying, 'If thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever.' But he forsook the counsel of the old men." Now, Rehoboam approaches these men, and he tells them the story, and he says, "How do you think I should answer them?" Do you see anywhere where they referenced the excess work? I mean, that was what the people brought to Solomon. "Your father's yoke was too heavy." Rehoboam comes and says, "They say my father's yoke was too heavy. How do you advise me?" And they spake, saying, "If thou wilt be a servant." I think it's a very diplomatic answer instead of coming up saying, "Yep, your dad was a tyrant." They were trying to diplomatically say, "We know. And we're trying to be
peacemakers. So instead of taking the low road, they took the high road and say, you know, you ought to serve the people. Well, he didn't like that. There's nothing that establishes whether there was hard work or not. But I think by the way they dodged that question, says, we've watched it for years. Look what Solomon wrote in Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. We have seen now these older men, wise men. Apparently, I'm going to say they've watched this throughout the years. Nobody's asked our opinion. And so now they're finally being asked by Rehoboam. They've learned a lot in life, and they answered with soft words. These older men could not force wisdom upon Rehoboam. They can give counsel, and they must pray for him. These advisors did not rebuke Rehoboam for refusing counsel. Thus, Rehoboam rejected the counsel of the old men. Listen carefully. No one must accept counsel, but they must accept the consequences of their decision. Nobody's forcing you to ever take counsel and advice. And you can reject it, but you can't reject the consequences of your decisions. Now, the poor counsel of his peers, verse 9, and he said unto them, Rehoboam said to these peers that he grew up with, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people, who have spoken unto me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? I want you to stop there. Go back to where it says, what counsel shall ye give that we? These are his cronies. Hey guys, dad dead, now I'm in charge. Come on, join me. How do you think we ought to handle these people? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke. That's interesting. They're agreeing. Dad laid a heavy yoke on you. You think he did a heavy yoke? I will add to your yoke. My father has chastised you with whips. I will chastise you with scorpions. Such fools in leadership. And what fools counseling the king. Because Solomon forsook his walk with the Lord, and this is where a nation goes quickly. These people have given Rehoboam horrible counsel, and many people are going to suffer for years to come. Oh, they talked tough. Verse 9, and they said unto him, what counsel give ye? The young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou say. And these threats did not intimidate the people. They very simply said, we're out of here. For the cause was of the Lord. Verse 12, so Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day as the king had appointed, saying, come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly, so much for soft words turn away wrath, and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. And my father also chastised you with whips. Nobody said, no, he didn't. But I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying which the Lord spoke by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. Jeroboam didn't have to raise up his hand. God did it for him out of his own mouth. You're going to offend the people, they're going to leave. You say, yes, but they should have prayed. Yes, Solomon should not have sinned. Yes, the tribes should have been praying. The list goes on. And finally, God is working. Rehoboam lived and watched as his father exploited the people for his personal desires. I have withheld nothing. Get that. Build that. make that. He wasn't doing it. Other people were. And he grew up under this. And apparently he was going to try in his father's oppressive footsteps. His father was oppressive. Build this, build this, build this. And we see it in the words of the old men diplomatically. You ought to be a servant to him. And they didn't even address the grievous yoke. They indirectly did. It's interesting to note that God never specifically said that the workload on the people was too much. It's not recorded in Scripture. But neither did God say that it was not too much. God was more interested in Solomon's failure to walk in righteousness than he was with the workload on the people. Do you remember we have covered in times past what are God's three priorities? Number one, salvation of souls. Number two, growing in righteousness. Number three, creature comforts. And many times God lets us lose our creature comforts to teach us, to guide us, to lead us. We do read in Scripture, though, I believe, as Solomon was saying in Ecclesiastes, all that work, all that money, all that effort was vanity and vexation of spirit. And you wonder if Solomon would have listened to the old advisors. Take a break. Take a break. What do you need with 1,000 women? What do you need with golden cups to drink out of? What do you need an ivory throne covered in gold? Why bother? Rehoboam acted selfishly, and therein he fulfilled the word of the Lord. And that is a profound truth. God is sovereign, and he uses his sovereignty in the daily living of people. That's called his providence. Rehoboam thought that he would be able to rule Israel as he desired. No matter how much a person fights against God's will, he will only succeed in bringing God's plan to pass. He thought he was going to bring those people into subjection. They said, I'm out of here. Folks, we cannot fight the Lord in his will. God told Solomon, Jeroboam will be the king over the 10 tribes. And Solomon tried to kill him. Didn't accept God's plan. He tried to fight it. And Rehoboam is fighting against God's plan. We must understand the kingdom did not split because of work programs, although they contributed to the problem and the unrest. Look at 1 Kings 11:11. Wherefore the Lord said to Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my commandment and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and I will give it to thy servant. Folks, the battle is spiritual. And God has the power to turn the heart of the king. But God can't get me out of this one. Have you prayed? Have you lived accordingly that God can bless you? Or do you keep going on living like you want to live and expect God to do what you want? God wants us to do his will, and he blesses and guides. And when he takes us into the difficult times of life, he's there with us. God's word has come to pass. God is not mocked, and no one is exempt from doing right, and nobody can fight against God's plan. God is serious about sin. People are prone to wander, and he is willing to chasten us to bring us back for our own good. I want you to think about this too. These people that were having this terrible turmoil and this interaction and this split, it's going to affect people for years and years to come. Please read in what is called the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, Moses is up on Mount Sinai. God is carving this into stone with his finger, and it says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Underline this, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me. They don't do as well. God says it will be on your great-grandchildren. What you're doing will affect your great-grandchildren.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.